Today on our show,
we are providing the definitive ranking of all 28 MCU films.
Hell yeah. Hit it, Polly. Welcome to episode 371 of the Countdown Podcast. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. And has there ever been a more apt opening?
Damn right.
Created by the host of their own podcast ever. Welcome to the podcast. We count down movies and sometimes television order of awesomeness, so you don't have to. Today, as mentioned, we are doing not 10, which is what we normally do, 10 films in, or TV shows and whatever countdown. We're doing 28 of them.
28, man. We're going to rank them MCU films.
Because that's how many MCU films have been so far. Now, I want to put on record straight away to the Chris Yeenies of the world, patron extraordinaire, wonderful supporter to the show. Thank you, Chris. And indeed, all patrons, you can find a link in our show notes and indeed on our website, countdownpodcast.com. How the Duck is not an MCU film.
Oh, I didn't include him, no.
No.
Oh, so some people think, no, it's not an MCU film. No.
He was desperate to get it in there. He wanted it acknowledged. Well, you've got your own acknowledgement at the top of the show. It's the 28th film, starting with Iron Man, finishing with Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. That's what we're covering. Deal with it.
Even if it was, it would be like the last one. They had duck nipples in that show, Paul. Duck nipples and titties. What the fuck? And then a duck slammed a fucking human woman. That's some fucked up shit, too. So, there you go.
Yeah, Chris has it as his number three.
Apparently. Oh, come on, Chris. Are you fucking with us now, see? All right, that's fine.
That's it. Pretty straightforward. We're going to cover it all. The worst to the middling to the absolute very best. And you will need to never think about this again if you want the proper reference point to the best. Well, the worst
yes.
to the best.
Hell yeah, exactly.
That's what we're offering you today, i.e. just our opinions. But anyway, that's beside the point. What is the point, though, is we kick off every show with a segment that we call The Recount.
Who wants a recount? Who wants a recap? Who wants a recap? Who wants a recap?
The recount, where we hear from you folks. Paul, what's up?
Well, last week was a top 10, last 10, so there's no vote to go through and decide who had the superior list according to our listeners in the Facebook list community. Link is in the show notes, but we do have a little bit of feedback about one of the films, Wayne, that you chose, which was All the Old Knives, starring Chris Pine and Tandoe Newton.
Tandoe Hung Ha Mujin.
Mike Siebert said, I'm both surprised and completely not surprised that Wayne liked All the Old Knives. What a cripplingly boring movie.
Really? Wow.
Edit. Okay. But yes, Wayne is correct about Chris Pine's immaculate hair. It really should be third billed on the poster.
Dude, it's insane. Just go see it for that.
And the only other bit of feedback is an email. An old school email. We don't get many of these days, I have to say. This one comes from Danny. Now, Danny said, hello, gentlemen. It has been a while since I've written. I must say, even after all the years you've been on, you have not lost your touch. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I still find myself laughing out loud, mostly with, but sometimes at you both. The soundboard is still awesome. Sorry, Wayne, that's just the way it is.
Fake.
Suck my dick.
I 100% agree. Danny, I am listening to your latest top 10, last 10, and was forced to say something. I heard you talk about Death on the Nile. I could tell instantly from your reaction that neither of you have read the book. Correct.
That's right. That's absolutely.
I do not agree with you that Kenneth Branagh is a wonderful actor and director. With that said, he does agree with us. My apologies on that note. But with that said, his Agatha Christie movies are the biggest pieces of shit I have ever seen.
Yeah.
He adds characters not in the book, leaves out other characters, changes situations, genders, relationships, and personalities to almost make his film unrecognizable from the source material.
Interesting.
I admit that he is amazingly Shakespeare, total crap with Christie, but both Death on the Nile and Murder on the Orient Express rank as the two of the worst movies in the history of cinema. He said, see the 78 Peter Ustinov as Poirot Death on the Nile if you want a good one. Wow. I just want to close by saying I love listening to you too. You always brighten my day and make me laugh. Also, just as a side note, I'm not allowed to listen to you guys at home without headphones. While Wayne's laugh makes me smile, my wife said if she hears it one more time, she will leave me. Lol. Keep up the awesome work. I love the new idea of ranking movies by studio. Always look forward to what comes next and cannot wait to hear it. Aussie, 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 Danny. Thank you so much, sir. That was awesome.
Thanks,
and look, yeah, great point. We didn't talk about that film at all as an adaptation because we hadn't seen read the source material. So fair enough. If that doesn't cover or follow very closely at all what the book did, then it may not be a good adaptation. It can be an okay movie. It wasn't great, but it was fine.
Yeah, I'm still loving it. Me putting other people off with my laugh.
I had my first experience of this twice in the last week.
What?
You know, we've had Danny now sort of suggesting that. We've had patron extraordinaire David Powell say a couple of times with the kids in the room and we've said something colourful / blue, shall I say.
Yes.
Yeah. The other day I got in the car and I was listening to our good mate So Wizard on my phone, and when it Bluetooths into my car, it just starts playing whatever was last playing, which I think it does for a lot of cars slash most of them these days. And my daughter was in the car with me.
Yep, that was it.
And the exact moment they were talking about Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah.
Where they're talking about the butt plugs or the statue of the butt, you know. And then Joey's like, and this fucking butt plug up his ass. And I went, book, plop, pause. And my daughter says, I heard that.
Oh, so she already knew it was nasty. Damn. You didn't get no what's a butt plug, Dad?
No, I did not have to go. But then I got back in the car like 3 days later, and again So Wizard. And again, the first word as it started playing was, motherfucking, from, I think that's why, again was from Joey. And I press pause, and my wife's in the car, she gives me a look, and my daughter again says, heard that one too.
Oh. Wow. What is your policy with swearing around your daughter?
Well, we try not to.
Okay.
Yeah. Occasionally something slips out, particularly when I'm driving, but anyway.
Oh, yeah. Only daddy talks like that. Yeah.
No, I don't even say that. There's a time and a place, and you're not old enough yet to do it. She knows.
Okay. Well done.
She knows, but there will come that time when we reap what we sow, I have no doubt.
Oh, my niece never cursed because her parents did, and now she curses worse than me. But she seems to get away with it.
I don't believe for a second what you just said there.
Okay, she curses a lot, but she does get away with it, which is something I think I gave her. So there you go.
Right. It's true, you get away with a lot more shit than you should. Thank you so much for that email, Danny. Thank you, everyone who gets back to us. I know it's a little bit light on because we didn't have a vote last week, but you can hit us up. Facebook List Committee, email, all the rest of it. Otherwise, then, let's get into it. On the other side of this live stream for The Cure, reminder, we're the last time slot on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Australian time, the 22nd of May, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Australian Western Standard Time. That's Saturday night for you in the North Americas. Work out the equivalent.
Yep, you're going to hear us live.
You're going to hear us live. Wayne's going to answer questions. We're going to play the countdown trivia game for the hosts. And Wayne is going to do magic live on
that's
camera!
That's not confirmed!
Ballsy. Stupid, but ballsy.
I got to find the trick first. But yeah, okay, I'll do some practicing and we'll see how it goes.
Or we're releasing Reap. So
no, fuck you, man.
I think you need to get this trick going.
I'll do a whole different show.
Now we're getting a whole show. This is awesome.
I don't even know what's going on here.
Anyway, let's hear from the man himself who organizes every year with what a wonderful cause, live stream for The Cure.
Hello, everyone. My name is Nick. I'm the host of Nikolai's Kitchen, and I'm also the host of the annual live stream for The Cure. Livestream for the Cure is a charity event where we raise money with content creators and podcast partners from around the world for the Cancer Research Institute, a wonderful nonprofit researching cancer immunotherapy, training the body's immune system to fight all forms of cancer. This is a mission and a future that I truly believe in. And myself and my team worked tirelessly over the past 5 years to raise over $50,000 for this cause. This year, we're aiming for our biggest single goal to date of $20,000, and we cannot do it without your help. Please join us for the event May 19th through the 21st, starting at 9 a.m. Eastern, for 45 hours of content from people all over the world. Together, we can bring hope for a future immune to cancer. The more eyes we reach, the more dollars we raise. Please help us in making this goal a reality. Together, we can make a difference.
Ranking the M to the C to the U
is the subject of this week's countdown as I blot out Wayne's word at the end unnecessarily. We don't need to explain any more than that. Now, these films have made bank.
Of course.
They are a cultural phenomenon. They have dominated the world since, well, really, 2008 in terms of the movie landscape.
Damn right.
Even coronavirus couldn't slow them down, at least in terms of how much money they're making. Whether or not the content has remained as good as we moved into phase four, I think we're about to find out, at least according to my opinions. Because there's a lot of phase four not near the top of this list.
The middle of this list was difficult, don't you think? I don't know about you, but like
I've done this list a long time ago for a guest appearance on the Cine Realist, and so I had to add 9 films or whatever since I was last on there, and so I just reordered a couple of things because I rewatched them all with my daughter last year.
Yeah.
In the lead up,
that would have been great.
To really No Way Home. Yeah, well, it was good fun. We watched them all except she didn't watch Doctor Strange and she didn't watch Iron Man 2 for different reasons that I'll explain.
Sure,
but yeah. So now I have a much more up-to-date version thereof, which is good.
Yeah. Yeah, there's only about 4 films I hate. Right? And the rest of them I like. So it's like, how much do you like them? How much do you put? No, you meant many more for you, I take it?
No, not many more. I would say there are 4 films that really disappointed me or I thought were shit.
Yeah. 4, yeah. That's good
and
for
them. And then I would say after that, they were just meh to one really disappointing one, which people love to this day. I know I'm going to lose this vote. Just based on where I play that film.
I can't wait to hear what it is.
And then, yeah, the middle of the films. I don't think I have anything controversial up high, to be honest. Yeah, so
no, most people agree low, on low is where. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
All right, then I'll kick us off then, Wayne. My number 28 film, a film I've only watched once, and obviously I'm not going into as much detail about each one of these because we'll be here forever. Mm. I've only seen it once. It stars Edward Norton as a completely forgettable Hulk. The studio decided they wanted nothing more to do with him. They recast Mark Ruffalo in the role. The Incredible Hulk from 2008, was it as well?
Yes, it was.
Directed by Louis Leterrier, the guy who's been subbed in for the departing director of Fast 10 or Fasten.
Justin Lin.
He's gone. He quit because he couldn't get along with Vin Diesel anymore.
So this guy is doing the new
this
Fast
guy's
10.
Come been brought in.
I heard a story that they should have called it Fast 10, Your Seatbelts.
Well, that's why it went Fasten.
Fasten, yeah.
Anyway, this is... I only watched it once. Barely remember anything about it. It was completely and utterly meh.
This is my number 28, by the way.
Oh, okay. There we are. Boring as fuck. And
you know what it is? Hulk can't have his own movie. He should be like executive decision.
I think there's some kind of law against him having his own film. Someone owns the rights.
Is that so?
Yeah.
Well, he can't sustain it anyway. He's great as a side character in, you know, the other movies and shit. But this, nah, it was crap.
My daughter wasn't interested. We didn't watch this. Actually, I tell a lie. We didn't watch three. This is another
film
we
didn't watch. It
barely
sneaks in. The only reason it's in here is because at the end, you got Tony Stark turning up, William Hurt and shit. So that's that. So,
yeah, it's very easy to forget this one as part of it because, like I said, it's not even Mark Ruffalo. So, all right. Mine up 27 then is the other film my daughter, one of the other two films my daughter didn't watch, Iron Man 2. You don't have to say where it is. I know it's higher on your list.
I know.
You defend this film.
I know. Please, go on.
I think after the surprise success of Iron Man, everyone went in expecting, which is dumb, because we all know the law of diminishing returns and sequels.
Yeah, but it dropped a hell of a way.
Did it ever. And again, I've only watched this whole film once, but I just think even when you make Mickey Rourke, who ended up becoming a very good actor in his later days, when you make him even seem...
He was hot at that stage. He was starting to get hot.
Wrestler and shit like that. I dislike this film immensely. It was so old school comic book. It seemed to have lost what made Iron Man great, other than Robert Downey Jr.
That's the problem. It had no heart because I'm not sure that villain was so shit.
Oh, Sam Rockwell was shit.
Sam Rockwell danced at least.
That puts it up several places. We'll find out how
that's totally what happens. Yeah. Like that's the best thing about the film. The worst thing is Mickey Rourke. And for some, you know what? No, the second worst thing was the what's her name? Romanoff.
Scarlett Johansson.
Scarlett Johansson, Black Widow. Her hair was so shit. It was really like, fuck, it's almost like...
It's shit that this is her introduction into the MCU, really. I know we've gone backwards in some ways and given her a pseudo sort of origin story, but yeah, this film...
It would have been fine if her hair was better. So anyway...
No, Wayne, it wouldn't. Even if she was the best hair ever put on someone since Chris Pine, it wouldn't be better.
I'm telling you. Anyway, so yes, okay, yeah. No, so, I'm sure you're not alone here. Most people hate this film.
Okay, so it's not on your 27. We'll find out how high it does go on your list. What's your 27?
My 27 is Eternals.
Low.
What a piece of shit. Really?
Low.
You think it's better than... Oh, that's right. You liked this shit.
I didn't mind this film.
It's people suck a dick. There's like 200 people in it.
Yep.
Yes, it's good to look at, but it was still a little CG good look. I didn't think it was
I liked it.
You know, it's fine, but like
I didn't love it, but I liked it.
Trying to focus on these 200 motherfuckers... And you don't care about any of them motherfuckers.
Or like nine, but
two,
still.
Nine, yeah. And I just like had so many issues with it. And I was bored. And this is the one Marvel film, even though like some of them suck and this, that, whatever, but they all fit that profile.
It's certainly long, 2 hours, 2.5 hours.
It just took too long. And it was a stupid idea. They should just...
They're going to have to address it in some way, shape, or form, aren't they? They can't just put it out there and then just go, sorry.
The idea behind this is like Blade. Was in the post credit scene of this thing, so that's like the unofficial introduction of Blade. So that's what makes it important.
Blade, and we had whatever Jon Snow's character is going to be.
Yeah, Jon Snow. That I reckon those two motherfuckers would turn up in a day. Oh well, Jon Snow's character is going to turn up in like Moon Knight or something. I reckon. Oh wait, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, go on.
Yes. Okay, that low. Wow, my number 26, Thor: The Dark World.
My 26 is Thor: The Dark World.
Yeah, this one was really... Watching it again, I'm just like, there's a lot of nothing going on here.
Once again, I don't know why I didn't care so much, because like Loki turns out to be a fucking one of those frost motherfuckers and all this sort of shit, but it was so bad. Yet something really important happened in it with the fucking... The Redstone or whatever being in fucking... gets in...
Sure.
What's-her-name's ass. And then they have to revisit this movie in fucking, the big one. That's how important it was, but it's still a piece of shit. Most people forgot about it.
Alan Taylor, who directed this movie, unfortunately also directed Terminator, I want to say, Genesis.
Oh, okay.
And just has this reputation for destroying franchises. He didn't destroy the MCU, quite obviously. Yeah, he also directed The Many Saints of Newark. So he did a lot of TV, but unfortunately none of his films have been that great. And this one just is, it's vacuous. Even Natalie Portman famously said, because I think this one was meant to be directed by the woman who directed...
Yeah, Patty Wonder Jenkins.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then she spat the dummy when she was replaced by Alan Taylor and clearly was phoning it in. And Chris Hemsworth is still playing the Thor who's full of himself and doesn't really kind of work well versus the humorous Thor who's that was reinvented really by Taika Waititi.
Yeah.
So none of that particularly works either. The threat is shit.
It's interesting if someone like you have a different director, all of a sudden it's a shit film. Natalie Portman obviously looked at the script and said, well, with this director, it's going to be awesome. I want to do it. And then gets pissed and now it's a piece of shit. So it's just weird how everyone's vision makes everything completely not the same, working from presumably the same script.
What's weird is that she's done a full 180 and come back into the fold for Love and Thunder. So
yeah, man, someone made it rain in front of her. That's why.
Yeah. Also, right? I would suspect Taika Waititi. But yeah, not in terms of making it rain, but in terms of...
Yeah, that would be fun.
All right, what's your 20? Oh, it's back to me again. Yep. My 25. Here's where we get by far, far and away the worst Avengers film for me, Age of Ultron.
Oh, that's harsh. Harsh!
Age of Ultron is shit.
Okay, here's the thing with Age of Ultron, right?
Expectations were high for me.
Yes, everyone, I remember talking about it whenever we saw it like 2 years
ago. One of the first films we saw for the show, actually.
Right, so, and I was sitting there going, here's what it was in my head. It's not bad, it's just not good. That's what it is, right? So it's not... if you look at it, I've actually watched it a couple times since then.
I've seen it once again since then, last year.
And I like the fact that James Spader is like that. His voice in that thing is great.
I don't like Ultron at all.
Here's the problem with the film, right? Tony Stark, as wonderful as he is, just makes problems and then solves them. So that's what happened with
his whole character arc. That's what he does, right?
Yeah. So he fucks this thing up. The problem with it was is that the bad guy was a robot. So it was like a sort of sentient, but like he was like a... You know, it was destroying Jarvis. This is like War Games. This is what this movie is like. But the actual action was fucking beautiful, man.
I didn't think so. That
opening shot with the
fucking... That's a cool shot. That was cool jumping shit. Through the air, but it gets really messy, particularly through the middle with the introduction to Wanda and her brother. And of course, he doesn't make it out of the film.
That is actually the problem with this film.
And then whatever the name of the country, the city or whatever it is that they pick up. And this is such a dumb idea. I'm going to lift this up and then I'm going to drop it on and create the next big bang. Like, fuck, dumb.
It's grand because it's that, right? He could have just said, I'm going to set off a bomb. You know what I mean? And it wouldn't be that. So this is like, find an excuse to make it grand.
I just felt like this was all the excesses of a comic book film really coming to life on a screen in a shitty way. Like we've gone so far over the top with so many different things that it just doesn't work in the end.
I remember not liking the twins. I remember just going, why did they put that dude in there and Wanda and Pietro or whatever, right? Yep. Like, it's like, I didn't care about any of that. And then when he died, I didn't give a shit either.
Exactly. There were the emotional stakes you meant to feel. I didn't feel any of them. So this was a very disappointing, muddled film. And that's why it's down here for me at 25.
I liked it quite a bit more, but I understand.
Okay.
All right. My 25 is Iron Man 2. That's where it is.
Okay. That's not that much different there. All right. So we got the same four in the bottom. Well, no, sorry. Same three, at least in our bottom four, if I can put it that way.
Yeah, okay.
Here we go. Here's where we started to...
Yeah, no, here's where it's going to go diverse.
Here's where it's going to go diverse. My number 24 is Ant-Man and the Wasp.
look, I understand and it's not too much higher up for me.
Okay,
but
so it's not that big. I just think this film, it's fine. You take out Ernesto's monologue sequence... Paul Rudd is...
That is the highlight of this film.
Paul Rudd is effortlessly charming. But otherwise, this film does not much other than lead into a big Avengers film.
Absolutely. This is one
I know they counter program by having it small scale. Ha! No pun intended.
Yeah.
And all the rest of that. But for me, I just sat there. This is the epitome for me of a 2.5-star, completely fine film, which does nothing bold or exciting or interesting.
Okay, so the best things about this film was the youngification of Michael Douglas and Michelle Pfeiffer at the beginning.
Yeah.
The fact that you then see, the quantum world is here and you've got potential, like, it's a whole new thing. You've got multiverses, but this is quantum world. Another thing, like, that was the cool shit. I love Michael Douglas.
I know you do.
So the worst thing was then...
He's like your favorite uncle who didn't touch you.
He didn't, you're right. One of the few.
Which is amazing given Michael Douglas' reputation. Not as a...
I know where you went with it.
He's a sex addict. non-consensual people.
There's a few of them around. Okay, so yes, I agree. Ant-Man and the Wasp. Everything after that, though, was inconsequential. Almost very forgettable. They got giant Pez dispensers and stuff like that getting thrown at people.
Yep.
That looked not bad. But in the Marvel universe, it's not important.
Yeah.
So that's what it was.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I agree. All right, you're 24.
My 24 is Black Widow.
Ooh, I've got that fair bit higher, I have to be honest.
Oh, have you? Yeah, okay. So this is an interesting one, everyone. The best thing about Black Widow was Florence Pugh.
Yeah, right? 100%. Yelena is brilliant.
Seeing her in Hawkeye and everything, I fucking love her. All right, I didn't think I would.
I love her attitude. Her dismissive kind of, this is so silly.
The best thing about her is she's got a comedic sensibility that works while doing a Russian accent, which is, I think, harder. If you're doing the Russian, I'm sorry, everyone, but whenever I hear someone speak Russian normally, to me, it sounds like they're doing a Russian accent. Okay, I know, whatever. All right, call me a prick. I don't care. So doing that and being comedic at the same time is quite a tall order, and she does it. So that's why it was cool.
Yeah, I think she's is the best thing about the film, but I quite liked the dude from Stranger Things as the dad as well.
Yeah.
And Rachel Weisz is the mom, and she's the, there are going to be some vague spoilers here. And she's not what she seems to be.
Oh, there's
going to
be spoilers everywhere, but everyone, you should just understand that.
Especially, with the exception of maybe Doc Strange and Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah. You're going to, we should spoil you at the beginning, but yes.
Yeah, there'll be spoilers. Really, if you haven't seen Black Widow yet, you don't give a shit too much about the MCU, let's face it. It's just too late. If this film had been earlier, had we seen it earlier in the piece in phase one,
I agree completely.
Certain things towards the end couldn't happen the way that they did, given that, but... Nevertheless, had they rewritten it, had it been released when it should have been, when Black Widow was introduced into the MCU, this would have been a really good film, would have been well received. It's just too late.
I reckon.
And so I guess I give it a little bit of a bump because I'm judging the film overall, not its place in the MCU in a way.
Everyone falling through the sky at the end is cool. So I'm like, it's a good enough film. And we're out of the ones I hate now, by the way. All these other ones.
Yeah, I don't hate anything.
We're into the sort of like a take
Avengers,
it or leave it kind of ones.
After Avengers. Yeah, I'm definitely in take it or leave it. And so that's how I would describe my number 23.
Yeah, cheers.
Here we go. Brace yourselves, ladies and gentlemen. Put your seatbelts on. Because my number 23 is Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
That's harsh. No way, man.
No!
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever been so impressed by the first 40 minutes of a film and so disappointed by the next hour.
You're let down by the rest.
And even the end, the climax, and I will be vague for spoilers on this one because it's relatively new. Even the climax, I was like, what the fuck?
What happened?
Nothing. Where Awkwafina should not have gotten past that first act. Not being killed. She didn't need to be killed. But she should have been sidelined after that point in time. She's the audience's into this world. We don't need that because we've got Shang-Chi. He's the into the world. She's pointless. She's not funny. She shoots one fucking arrow. Whoop-dee-fucking-do.
Well, here's what happens. She's the obviously comic relief for whatever,
Well, you think she's comic relief.
Yeah,
People who like Awkwafina think she's comic relief.
Yeah, but you
I
find
think
her
she's
not
fucking
funny.
Annoying.
Yeah, okay. I mean... Yeah, it's not quite my thing either. But here's the reason Shang-Chi was I thought was the shit was that, okay, so it's cool to see Marvel doing whatever genre. So in this one it's martial arts movies. And you've never seen it before. And this guy goes a little fucking crouching tiger and all that shit. Beautiful.
Fine.
It's gorgeous.
Yep.
Now the problem
Tony
with this film.
Tony
Yung.
Yeah.
He's
great.
The shit. Absolutely good. Now, the problem, and I understand this, is at the end it just becomes CGI fest.
Oh, God,
now I'm riding
it.
Dragons. Now I'm taking shits. Now I'm doing all sorts of stuff, right?
Thank God the CGI shit was
very realistic. And so that's when it just became another Marvel film. Now, I don't know what other way they could have gone. I would probably skipped the riding on dragons shit. It just went too far. And now I'm like, so now it's just a cartoon.
Yep.
Where before I was worried about the relationship and
remember back to the fucking fight on the bus and the fight in the scaffolding.
Yeah, that was cool.
If that shit had to continue, this shit would be top five for me.
I think it's the mom and dad relationship that is really the key that you care for here.
Yeah, but we could have had it grounded literally a lot more.
Yeah, okay. I liked Shang-Chi. I definitely liked it.
Fair enough.
Cool. My number 23 was Ant-Man and the Wasp, so to you.
22 for me is the other Ant-Man film.
Me too.
Oh, it's fine. I will never let go of the specter of our main man. Edgar Wright directing this film.
Yeah,
this film would have been, I just think, an absolute masterpiece.
What would he have come up with, man? What would he have done?
Edgar Wright moment that sticks out of this film like a sore thumb for me versus whatever his name is, Peyton Reed.
Yep.
Is that sequence where they're fighting, whatever, and then it just turns out on a toy train and we see the toy train kind of from. That screams Edgar Wright to me.
That's cool.
Yeah, that stuff over and over and that level of humor. Just worked up an absolute storm.
I still liked this moderately, I would say.
Don't hate it. Another 2.5 star film.
You know what's the best thing about this film? You look at Paul Rudd's rig, and he's just fucking muscly as fuck. And he's like fucking whatever. He's balls older than us.
He's 94 years old.
He's 98 years old. and so I'm like, a bit of hope. you know, you can probably still stay there if you're a movie star and naturally handsome. So I guess I'm fucked. But the question about like all of like whether this could work because no one cared about Ant-Man in the you know, was answered. And you know what? It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. I think they treat it like this too.
This is my lowest 3-star film.
Yeah, okay.
It's the highest 2.5-star, one of the two.
Okay. No, I'm down with that. Before we go any further, I wanted to tell you something, Paul.
Uh-huh.
I was watching some porn the other day.
Wait, you?
I know, what? Right?
No.
I know. And, I noticed in this porn that the protagonist had an extremely beautiful and very clean-looking ball sack.
Good on him.
Yeah, and I was like, I need to get me some balls
would,
like that.
Would that we all had... Oh, wait, but there is a way, is there not?
There is. I found out because I whipped out the Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0 and went to town on my downtown.
As part of the performance package?
That's right, man. When this performance package came, it had... The Manscaped wicked like fucking unit, which was like, you know, yep, wireless charging, all that cool shit.
Can wireless boot you in the charging. Charger.
You can do it in the shower. You can yep. do all kinds
Keeps
of shit.
It clean, ceramic Keeps it clean, blades,
anti-nick technology, yeah.
reducing the number
shit.
Of nicks that happen.
That's right, and it comes with motherfucking like a ball toner, deodorant.
Yep.
Sorry, ball deodorant.
Yep.
Fucking.
I think some boxes if you're boxes, so inclined.
A dop kit, fucking all kinds of cool yeah. shit.
Some nose is, and ear hair trimmer. Have you tried that yet?
I have.
I haven't. How'd it go?
The nose and ear trimmer works great. I'm one of those guys who actually pulls them out, Paul.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. You know? I'm not averse. If it's hanging out my nose, it shouldn't be there.
Oh, no. It's gone, MacReady. So it's like it's out, right? So, but that's what this came to. And for a short time, Manscaped is allowing Countdown listeners
Ooh.
To order any of their items and get 20% off. How do they do that, Paul?
You do that by going to the website, the Manscaped website, and typing CDPC20 at checkout.
That's CDPC20 at checkout. It'll drop the balance by 20% for you. And
free delivery.
Free shipping to your ass directly.
What the hell?
I know.
No.
Even Will's shocked.
No.
Even
no.
to Australia, man. Even That's to right. Australia. This shit came to us free.
That's shit. Right. That shit costs money.
That's
but
right.
not to you as a listener of the show. So with our... We're obviously a paid partner of Manscaped. We want to say thank you very much to them for putting this out there for our listeners and encourage you to give it a bash.
Balls feel great.
All right. So anyway, let's get back to it. My 21, Iron Man 3.
Ooh. No, I knew this would happen. Yeah. I'm one of those guys who didn't mind Iron Man 3.
You have such a hard-on for Shane Black.
I do. Except for Predators. Or whatever.
Ironically, the Predator.
The Predator, whatever. Yeah, that was a piece of shit. But... I understand why, because Iron Man 3, for me, the worst things about it were him saving all the motherfuckers that fell out of the fucking plane. That was just like, this is stupid. Like, I'm going to get you all, grab each other's hand, we're going to just float down, I'm going to run electricity through my body to make sure that you don't let go of anyone else, and then I'm just going to That was so bad. What else? The good things, though, the bad guy was a bit shit. The Guy Pearce was a bit shit.
Yeah.
Right? But the good things were the Mandarin reveal. That was fucking awesome. Ben Kingsley, and all of a sudden I'm an actor, and oh, I'm Trevor, what's your name?
Which obviously comes back in Shang-Chi as well.
Yes, which is cool as shit. And yeah. I think pretty much everything else was like, fine. Like, this is a hero with PTSD. There's a kid in it, but he didn't really get in my way. I could have done without him, but yep. he didn't really get in my way.
Yeah, you're just saying all the things that did annoy me.
Yeah, okay, fair
and
enough.
And then, what's her name? Gwyneth Paltrow coming back at the end.
I'm fine
and
with that. She can have a suit, Paul. She can just have a suit. It's cool.
It just got over the top. Like, how much tech can this man have? Even though we're meant to be reducing him back to being without the tech, that's the whole point of this film. In the end, it still comes back to relying on super amounts of tech.
Well,
kind of muddles the message as far as I'm concerned.
Look, it's lower on my list as well, but the thing that's worse to me about this film is at the end, with he's got all these like Iron Man fucking suits. Drones or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah. And he's like, okay, do some fucking protocol. And then they all just destroy themselves in the sky. They just kill each other and kaboom, kaboom, kaboom. And they're only doing that for the aesthetic of it looks like fireworks behind Tony and fucking Gwyneth when they're kissing. And I'm like, don't do that. Do you know how much that fucking costs? You just fucking developed all that shit. And now it's like, because I want a cool scene, I'm going to destroy all my tech. You wouldn't do that, Tony. You'd at least put them back down in that bunker. So that's it.
All right. My 20. No, you're 21 now.
My 21 is Captain Marvel.
Yeah, it's my 20.
20, okay.
So we're pretty much on the same page there.
Captain Marvel is... The problem with Captain Marvel is that it is... We were just waiting for a clue about the Infinity War when we were watching it. We were like, yeah. And then it was...
I don't think this film's particularly well directed. So Marvel has this penchant, money-saving perspective, keep people in-house by hiring young talent or inexperienced talent. And then being able to hold them in check much more than, say, a Sam Raimi, right?
I mean, he was fine. I didn't mind Captain Marvel.
Look, no, neither do I. It's a soft three-star film. Yeah. But Ryan Fleck and Anna Boden, what have they done since 2019?
I'm not familiar even with them.
Well, the answer is I don't think anything. So my point is this wasn't that well received. I don't think Marvel were that happy with it. They haven't rushed Captain Marvel 2 into production. I think we're getting the Marvels or some shit down the line.
Oh, yeah. No, this is – she's around maybe. I don't know what it was.
And they're so superpowered, Captain Marvel as well, that
– they had to take her out of
– they kind of had to just keep putting it to one side. Yeah. That's some short-sightedness, I think, on behalf of the film. Given that you're weaving together this whole tapestry of this universe, we have to constantly send her out to the reaches of the galaxy / universe so that she's not here to save this moment like that.
Yeah, and that's why – well, she did sort of get her ass kicked by Thanos, so it's not like it's all that, but I don't know if that works.
Even that's a bit stupid.
I don't know if that works.
But she was the one that flew through the big ship and, you know.
Yeah, you'd think she'd be able to fly through Thanos then, wouldn't you? You know. So, okay, fair enough. Captain Marvel.
It's okay. It's fine.
It's fine. It's good. It's fine.
The youngification of this – it was too much in this movie. Sam Jackson was better than – Agent Coulson.
Dude, the biggest fucking technical fucking triumph of this is that they managed to keep him looking good and consistent all the way through this film. Youngification has only been good in that film for that long.
Yeah, I think this is the greatest example of it.
Right.
And it looked like old men trying to kick someone, curb stomp someone. But yeah. Anyway. All right, that's my 20, so back to you.
My 20 is Shang-Chi, baby.
Okay, it's not that much higher. Yeah. My 19, first of the Spider-Man film, Spider-Man: Far From Home.
The first one.
No, second one.
Second one. So this is the Jake Gyllenhaal one. The Mysterio one.
That's right, Mysterio.
Yeah, I like this one. I know it's the worst of the three.
Good. I'm glad it's the worst of the three because it is the worst by a million miles.
What was it that bugged you with the fact that it was all an illusion?
No, I think what bugs me about this film is it's all fine in terms of the setup and then the... I knew Mysterio was a bad guy in the Spider-Man universe, but I didn't know how they were going to play it here. So the eventual reveal, that's all fine. After that, it just descends into who cares to me.
Because
he's such a... What, I don't know. To make Jake Gyllenhaal so unlikable...
I thought as Mysterio, he was totally fuckable. But like if...
but once he becomes just the bitter, disgruntled...
Yes.
You know, ex-employee of Stark Industries, Plus, I don't think the Tom Holland, Zendaya, ironically given that somewhere around here they get together in real life or the soon thereafter, the chemistry here wasn't anywhere near as good as it was in the last film in the series.
They fucked yet, Paul.
Yeah, well, maybe they had, but you know what I mean? They were still fine. They were still filling each other out, whatever else it was.
Well, they were supposed to get along with each other and then sort of get to it at the end of the film that was... I think the problem with it is that technically everything was an illusion, so the threat wasn't... Yeah. It was real, but it wasn't really real.
Yeah,
so now
I hear what you're saying.
The big bad doesn't mean that much. So yeah, I get it.
All right.
Okay.
That's my 19. What's yours?
My 19 is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Got that a bit higher.
Several
places higher, but I hear where you're coming from, please.
Best thing about it is that, the opening with the ironic sort of in the background fight, really cool. James Gunn City.
Yep.
Kurt Russell is the shit. I loved him as the fucking God Planet dude, whatever. Yep. I think the only reason I'm putting it around here is that I remember having a moment at the end of the film where it ended on a down note because of all the death of Yondu and shit like that.
Oh, I thought that was perfect for his character, the arc.
Yeah, I wanted to be happy the whole time, and I was like, and that's what the only thing. And again, I still would watch it again because the youngification of Kurt Russell and that opening scene with him in the Corvette or whatever. And I was like,
I'm not that into this youngification that you are, clearly.
Oh, but it was such a beautiful scene with like the music playing, the 70s music playing, and him being all cool and driving the woman. And it's like, yeah, motherfucker, that's beautiful. So I love that shit.
All right, this is where 18 for me is Eternals, where it fell for me. So right mid tier.
And 18 is where I put Age of Ultron.
Okay, all right. So we both got one very low and then mid tier. 17 for me, Captain America: The First Avenger. Like this film, don't love it.
Yeah, I love it. Well,
it's that simpler 1940s time and...
What was cool? Let's go to war. Exactly. And that's why I liked it, though, because some people said this. For the first... Once he becomes Captain America, a good act or so for after that, he's playing this... Yeah. It's being ridiculed and everyone's like, is she what shit he's coming? Like, you never really... You can't take him seriously and you can see him getting cut down. And it's like, this is cool that they're giving you that.
Well, I think it spins his wheels for a long time, this movie.
Yeah, if you're looking for an action film, you're sitting there going, there's a lot of plot. And I love Tommy Lee Jones in this. It's really good. So
I like Hayley Atwell in it. It's only 2 hours long, this film. It feels longer, way longer.
Really? I think, again, you know, I think that the Captain America trilogy is the pound for pound best trilogy in the MCU.
This one drags it down.
This one is the worst of the three, but it was doing all of the work. So... But then when he becomes Captain America and all the cool shit happens to him, man, what's his name? Chris Evans. All right.
Too busy laughing, sorry.
I smoked it away. Him being kept... He should be boring like Superman, where it's hard to actually kick his ass. But he's fucking charming the whole time. Being a good guy and being likable is... Like that
that's
good?
True. That's true.
Very difficult. Yep. So I love this show.
Yeah,
so
yeah, very impressive performance in that respect. All right, what's your 17?
17 is Iron Man 3. Okay. That's where it goes.
All right. My 16, Black Widow, is mine.
Ah, my 16 is Black Panther.
Low.
Yeah.
No, I mean, again, a bunch of places.
Look, a lot of folks love this thing. I think the best thing about Black Panther is it's like, this is the most clear expression of one particular director's voice because it was
Ryan Coogler, yeah.
Yeah, because, like, you know, it was dealing with, like, you know, that culture and so on. And the good thing about it was that you're learning about this Wakanda culture. I know it's fake, but you're learning about it and it's kind of cool to see it.
100%.
And probably the Tokyo scenes were cool looking. I thought that was wicked. But by the time the Killmonger fight and everything happens towards the end...
It's a bit of a letdown.
Yeah, I was like, oh, train. You know, it's... Yep. But the all the things that the
but
guy
I think Killmonger is a bad guy. He's such a good villain. And it's nuanced. And his rationale is believable enough that you can get behind.
You know what? His rationale is... But the way his cuntiness of being like of being a bad guy made me believe that he wasn't benevolent. So that was the only problem I had. I'm like, yes, your ideas are sound, but I don't believe you really feel that. I believe that's your excuse to go kill motherfuckers. Right. That's what I think. Okay. So, you know, there you go. But that's, yeah, hey.
Agreed. With everything you said there, I just liked it more. And I also really appreciate the fact that we had representation for the first time in a film that made so much fucking money as
well. This thing fucking nailed it. Can you, just for a second, like, imagine you're Chadwick Boseman. You got the best film ever. You're representing your people, all this sort of shit, and then you go get sick. Fucking
absolute tragedy.
Just tragic,
and I still
bro.
Don't understand what they're going to do for Black Panther 2. I don't. I have no concept.
I don't know either.
That's meant to be out in like 6 months, 7 months from now.
And it's supposed to be called like Wakanda Forever, something, and it's supposed to focus on the city of Wakanda. That sounds like The Sims to me, motherfucker. Like, why? How's that a movie? Like, what is that?
Let's see. So, are they going to replace? Can you call it Black Panther, colon, Wakanda Forever and not have a Black Panther? What's going to happen?
You know, he was amazing in this role and he's fucking the shit as Black Panther, but I think they Agreed. Should continue and with the replacement. I think they should. Like, just to keep the character alive.
Well, that's real life impinging on comic books, but in comic books, when someone dies, someone else takes up the mantle, even if they're only dead for a temporary amount of time.
So the chatter is that, like, the Suri or whatever his good sister might be the Black Panther.
Yep.
All right.
Fine.
That could,
as long as
that
someone's Black Panther, I don't care.
So would you mind if they swapped the actors? How do you feel
no,
about that?
No, no, it can't be T'Challa. T'Challa has to be written out in some way.
The new guy's not
to me,
T'Challa.
that would be disrespectful.
I reckon Mbasu would actually make a good, like, he's the huge motherfucker.
The big guy?
Yeah. That would be like Jack
I'm
Reacher,
okay with
Black
Siri,
Panther.
Siri? Shuri? I'm okay with Shuri. I'm okay with anyone really being in the role, as long as it's not someone just... And now the role of T'Challa will be played by King T'Challa will be played
right.
by...
You know
blah.
What? I bet you they just can't do that. No. They just can't do that. It's got to be a whole different guy.
They
shouldn't.
Or girl.
Girl. Yeah, person.
Person. All right. My number 15 is Doctor Strange in the Multiverse.
Yeah, me too! That's exactly where this
is. Wow, there you go. So really, literally, mid-tier, because that's right where we are at the moment.
That's right.
For all the reasons why it's mid-tier, you can check out our review, which will be out in a few days, if it's not all already. Okay, so, and it'll be too many spoilers to talk about it. So, we'll leave it there.
Yeah, definitely.
14, Thor.
Oh, low.
Ooh.
Low!
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thor. Okay.
Going back to rewatch it again. Took away some of the magic for me, I have to say.
When you watch it again?
Yeah, with my daughter.
Huh.
I still like it. I like the Kenneth Branagh, can't the angles, make it a really comic book film, all that kind of stuff. I like Chris Hemsworth. But what I don't like about Chris Hemsworth as Thor in this film is it's very leaning on the regal kind of underpinnings of it. There's none of that, as I was implying before with Thor the Dark World, there's none of that self-aware, well, there's a little bit of it, but nowhere near as much self-aware humor. Other than him being a fish out of water when he gets to Earth. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but he's so good, man. When he's in that cafe and he's like drinking coffee, he's like, I like this drink. Another! And smashes it and everyone shits their pants. Again, that's so good.
Fish out of water humor. That's fine. It's got that here, but it hasn't got the Thor, I am humble, because he hasn't learned that yet. I get it.
But that's cool, man. Like, that's a good character. And then he evolves by the time, you know?
Okay, no problem. But overall, and then also the fact that this is a one street fucking town in the middle of nowhere. The budgetary limitations in this film are very much on display because it is.
But to be fair, when meteors hit, they often hit in the desert and shit. So, you know. I'm just saying.
Nevertheless, I'm sure a town would have more than just a street.
Well, remember, this is the original one. Like, this is back when these were unproven sort of
2011,
movies,
3 years after Iron Man. So yeah. Was Iron Man 2 before this one or at the same time?
Yeah, but they're banking on essentially a new character. So it's not like they had the budget they would have for, you know, 2 or 3 and whatever.
Yeah, this was after Iron Man 2, so...
Yeah, so I
would have thought they'd throw a bit more behind it, to be honest.
I think that, first of all, Kat Dennings, if you want a comic relief, she's great.
Yeah, but by the time we get into fucking WandaVision, she really grates. Really grates for me.
I like me some Kat Dennings, man. I gotta say.
You're welcome.
I know.
To say hello to her for me.
Thanks, I will. Fair enough. But I like the Natalie Portman stuff too. I think she was great in this.
She's okay in this film. Much better than The Dark World, that's for sure.
Okay.
So overall, yeah, we get the Thor's posse introduction. Get a little bit out of them. They never really do anything with this posse or whatever they're called.
You know, they never mentioned that...
Lady Sif and Co.
Lady Sif and Co. Yeah, well, she's the only one left now. But, like, they never mentioned that Shazam is actually one of his homies.
Really?
Yeah, Chuck from... What's his name? Zachary Levy.
Yeah.
He's one of fucking Thor's, like, five friends.
Oh, he just never comes back again.
He gets capped, I think, at some... Oh, I don't know. I think he's actually around still. He's one of the guys who actually survived. But I can't remember. But yeah, no one mentions he walks
through... He's a different universe now.
Yeah, yeah. But that's why it's fun. It's like, oh, Shazam's one of them motherfuckers.
All right. What have you got then for your 14?
14 is Doctor Strange. The original Doctor Strange.
Oh, that's a little low.
Yeah, I'm surprised you like it a bit more than me, actually. Because Doctor Strange is basically Tony Stark without... But he's not that smart. You know, he's the magic guy as opposed to the tech guy.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's like,
he's a scientist as opposed to an inventor.
Yeah, but he's different. They're both cunts, but Tony Stark is charming and he's just a cunt.
Correct. He's just
so. But I love his stuff, man. So, and this one here, I think this is the way where I saw all those surreal scenes of him jumping between worlds.
Oh, brilliant!
Beautiful in this. Beautiful in this.
Tilda Swinton, Rachel McAdams in this film was his kind of love interest.
I believe it all.
Ejiofor as eventually his foe, but really only towards the end of the film. Yeah, this film worked for me really, really well.
I think it's a great film.
I literally remember seeing the cinema on a Thursday morning on a day off from work where there was fuck all people in there and just being like, wow, this film really rocks.
Right? It's underrated, I think. Mm. Yeah, so definitely.
It is underrated. And I think, don't know if that's because of Doctor Strange as a character or people didn't like Benedict Cumberbatch or...
It's a different kind of film.
Yeah.
So I would say yes.
This is the last film my daughter did not watch because we decided it'd be too scary for her to watch.
I agree.
As an 8-year-old.
It's quite a trip.
All right. So that's your 14. My 13, Iron Man.
No! Yeah.
I know it started it all off.
Shit!
I just think it's fine. It's good. It's better than fine. It's a good film. It's not a great film by my estimations.
So,
Setting the groundwork. It's got a lot of legwork to do that for, and it's not really you're not really aware it's an Avengers starting off point until the very post credit sequence.
No, you're not. Although Tony turns up in fucking Hulk talking about I'm starting a team.
Yeah, but this one's the first one. Iron Man first, Incredible Hulk second.
Oh, it was the first one. Yep. You're right. Yeah, that was cool.
So you weren't watching it with that expectation, and I enjoyed it. It was good. But for me, it's just a comic book film in the sense of no one's really at risk here. We're not playing for stakes, as far as I was concerned.
Really?
Yeah.
Nuclear war, man.
Yeah, but
Jeff
it really
Bridges, good?
Again, in a film that's not a COVID film, that's a drama, I might believe nuclear war could break out.
Okay, look, we hadn't been we're definitely not indoctrinated into the whatever, but why?
If there's a criticism of the MCU, sorry to interrupt you, overall, it's that there's never really any stakes.
What are you talking about, Willis?
My point is, even the vast majority of people who were eventually killed in a particular film all come back bar one or two.
But you didn't know that when it happened.
Yeah, we did. Go back and listen to our review.
Fine. But you weren't supposed... Okay, whatever. But
it's because it's based on comic books. They never kill anyone for good on comic books. There's always a fucking alternate dimension version or someone else or some magical way of resurrecting them. That's comic book for
you. Yeah. But
so I'm criticizing the whole genre opposed to...
I get this, but I will tell you this. Marvel, in terms of Marvel versus DC, Marvel is the most metal with their shit. I've read Spider-Man's comics where at the end of it, the entire world ends. For Spider-Man, he's the only one left. That's a fucking comic for kids. And I'm like, shit. So it does shit like that.
Okay.
So, you know, I don't know.
Go to another universe. It's we'll continue here. 616.
It's a business.
We're back to 616.
It's going to continue. But yeah, I know what you mean. So, okay, nice one. My number 13, was a Captain America and the First Avenger.
Okay. So that's where you go, a little bit higher than me. 12, this is where I had Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. So a bit higher than you.
Okay. And my 12 is Spider-Man Far From Home.
Mm-hmm. My 11 is Black Panther.
11 is Thor.
Oh, you can't get on me. No! Oh, no, you're really angry.
This is nearly top 10.
So. All right, well, now we're top 10 for me. Doc Strange.
Oh, fuck!
Yep.
That's a lot, man. I'm surprised you like it more than me. I thought you didn't.
No, I did.
Wow. Damn.
Again, horror sensibilities, Scott Derrickson. Again, the visuals of that movie astound. So
agree completely. It's the shit. And this is why it's all weird.
And I'm okay with Doc Strange being an asshole because they really do set up his character as being that. He was this arrogant fucking surgeon. He was Alec Baldwin in Malice.
Exactly.
There's a throwback.
Yeah, there you are. Okay, well, my number 10 is Spider-Man Homecoming. That's the first Spider-Man.
No!
Wow. Wow, really?
This is the film that has grown the most in my estimation on the three or four rewatches I've had of it.
Really? Because of Michael? Or because of
I appreciated him from the get-go.
He's the
Michael Keaton's amazing.
Michael Keaton's the shit.
That him is one of the best villains ever in the MCU. Best villains in comic book films.
This is a good point, though. Like, when, as much as you said, you know, the stakes in Marvel films and stuff like that, I tend to like Marvel films where the stakes are local. And this is totally that.
I reckon
sort of.
You're wrong once you reveal your number one.
Yeah, not all the way. I'm not saying it's mutually exclusive, but I seem to like them. And this one here was because you had that cool acting moment where Michael Keaton is realizing slowly that Peter is Spider-Man in the backseat of his car with his daughter, and you see that shit happens. Or then even when he opens the door, and you're like, the bad guy all along is... And that was all wicked moments. And they were smart enough to make his daughter mixed race or whatever so you didn't suspect he was her dad.
Yep.
All very good fucking shit.
I'll go you one more than that. This film, it's the perfect blend of everything that's cool about being young and growing up. There's the pining for the person that you want.
Absolutely.
Right, and you think you probably can't get... There's the realization... Well, the hint that actually maybe that person's not the person you should be with.
Exactly.
All the way you didn't know. Great action sequences. Good learning arc in this movie. Like him,
for Spider-Man?
Yeah, learning his... This is the most captivated I've been by that. Way more than the Tobey Maguire films, as far as, and certainly more than the Andrew Garfield ones. Tom Holland, to me, is Spider-Man. If he's not the right age, he certainly looks the right age, unlike his predecessors.
Yeah. Oh, that's for sure. He's definitely
embodies that charm and innocence.
He moves boyishly as well. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah. And it's wow. Just that you believe him when he says wow. Whoa.
He's really great.
He's brilliant really in the movie.
So much so that I saw Uncharted with a few folks recently.
Yep.
Uncharted, sorry. And they were like, I can't not see him as Spider-Man.
He has absolutely personified that and will do. I hope he continues for another three films and more and whatever else that he wants to do. Because he's not a kid anymore. Yeah. He's not a high school kid anymore. He's now in college and whatever else he's going to do. All that works. The action's great.
Mm-hmm.
The only slight letdown for me is a little bit the sort of final battle, again, doesn't quite work for me. But overall, the humor is on fucking point in this movie. It is legitimately funny.
You know what this is, right? So they said this when they turned... It's like a John Hughes Marvel film. That's what they say about it.
Maybe that's why I like it so much.
This is the Marvel doing teen comedy.
It's kind of Ferris Bueller, but...
It is.
Rather than Pretty in Pink.
The best thing about the MCU is they're just showing you the superhero versions of all your favorite genres.
Yep.
That's so cool, man. And this Tony Stark shit in this is the tits.
Yeah, and I think
him being like them, like swinging through the flying through the city, so cool.
I think that was an inspired decision. I know the purists don't like it who've read the comic books and love Spider-Man and whatever else, but for me, as
it made the film,
tie
bro.
It all together and to give him the suit and all that, it just works so, so well. And I think it's probably the right amount of Tony Stark in this one. I think it borderline. So.
No, this is him being in that. It was just cool, man. I loved that crap. Yeah, definitely.
All right, cool.
Okay. So your number...
That was my
10. I said my 10.
That was my number 9 is... Here we go. Uh-oh. Avengers : Endgame.
Look, I would love to put my foot in your ass or something. All right? But... I know, because we're at the tens here, and you got to figure out where you're putting your shit.
This film,
and what are you gonna do?
Is way too long. It does way too much ridiculous points to get to the where it wants to. The first 2 hours, this movie, I would argue, surprising first 20 minutes aside, the next hour 40, it's boring legwork to get you where you need to be. I don't like any of that stuff. It's just, get on with it, please.
Okay, so I understand what you're saying.
A fucking rat walks across something and that's what saves the universe.
Here's what happens, okay? So you get the one before and then you get this one. Now, this one is a very different film and they didn't really tell you, but they're just telling you because the beginning of it takes forever to what you might think get going. I understand why they did this, and here's what I think they did with it. They went, okay, look, first of all, audience, you need to understand the aftermath of that snap. I'm going to give you a 5-year jump, which is a big surprise.
Well, it is. But arguably, if I again can jump in.
Go on.
We reference that a lot in future films. Like, so they decide to make all the heavy lifting here. And there's there's one good poignant scene where Scott goes to the wall and sees himself on, you know.
That was a great scene.
That stuff's good. But everything else around, like, oh my God, get on with it.
No, what I think I was watching it going, I'm not unentertained. I'm not bored, but I'm feeling the weight of the film and hence the drag of the film for that first act at least. And now that they're sitting there, they're burning goodwill with you for that first act. Mm-hmm. They go, look, I know it's a bit boring, but you need to feel something before I give you anything else. Then you start to come up with all this shit, and then you get maybe the most triumphant scene, end scene,
the final
on film that I've ever seen in any film ever.
The final 45 minutes of this movie, give or take, are astounding.
So this is that they're like, if you can just sit with us for this first act and a half, I'll give you that 45 minutes, which is...
Well, not even act and a half. You're saying 2.5 acts because this film's 3 hours long.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm going to give you the best last 45 minutes of a film you've maybe ever seen, and I still think that's the case.
A culmination of 24 films or whatever it was at that point in time.
The cheers in that you people...
With a hammer. Avengers,
I've never been
assemble.
In a film. Exactly. I've never been in a fucking room where that happens before. So this is the shit on that level.
Yeah, and I will always remember where I was and when I saw this film. And exactly even where I was sitting in the cinema and I saw it in gold class because... I did it after a week away and I was late to see. I saw it on the Sunday after every other prick had seen it Thursday and Friday and had to just go to ground and not look at the internet for all that time.
Do you want
to
hear some embarrassing shit?
Someone still managed to spoil something for me.
Oh, yeah. It's a piece of shit. It's a fucking internet. But I sometimes, when I'm feeling, I don't know, whatever, I'm feeling a bit like off, I'll watch just cinema reactions of that scene on YouTube and it makes me happy. I'm like, yeah, everyone fucking loved that shit. You know what I mean? That's how much of a bitch I am.
Well, there you go. A little insight into Wayne. You're number 9, sir.
My number 9 is Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, that's so low.
Okay, so here it is.
That is so
No. To get Doctor Strange on you for a while in the quantum of the MCU list, okay, this movie is the shit. It's top 10. You're not going to hear a bad word about it from me because I think it's a note-perfect film, okay?
So you have 8 other more Night Perfect films?
8 other films I'm more fond of, Paul.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? So Guardians of the Galaxy, all is wicked. No one thought this would work. There's a recording of one of our shows. I remember saying, oh, I saw the Guardians of the Galaxy fucking trailer. Because we never heard of these 4 motherfuckers. I'm like, yeah, that looks stupid. Absolutely. I said straight up, this looks like shit. I don't know how they can sell this, right? So then it comes in and now I'm buying that there's a fucking talking tree and all of the other shit that happened. The raccoon? That shouldn't have worked.
Agreed.
Fucking Bradley Cooper and shit.
It's James Gunn magic, man.
James Gunn is the fucking bomb.
What inspiration to... I know we have jettisoned him as the inferior Chris, but what genius casting. He's perfect.
He fucking killed it, right?
So Zoe Saldana nails it.
You know what? I don't have any problem with Chris Pratt. He is the least of the Chris's, but who cares, all right? He's still the better of most men, right?
Fair enough. Fair enough.
So, like, that, I liked it very, like, a heap. And I think the fact that at the end you're so satisfied, like, that's, like, I always
dance off, baby.
Oh, shit. Why did that work? It shouldn't have worked.
The biggest knock on this film is bad guys bad, but that's okay. Occasionally, when your good guys are so great.
That's what it was. He was actually a fine bad guy.
Oh,
it's
shit.
Just that, really?
He's shit.
A blue thing with a fucking hood and everything.
Whatever he's, I can't remember. He's so forgettable, I can't remember his fucking name.
Yeah, me neither. Well, I cared enough about him or found him threatening enough that I was concerned for the good guys at the end. So that makes sense.
Ronan the Accuser.
Ronan,
I had to look
Ronan
it up.
Keating, yes. So,
all right, what have you got for... That was my 9. What's yours?
That was my 9.
Avengers Endgame?
No, sorry. I said Guardians, didn't I?
Oh, Guardians 9. Sorry, my apologies. Yes, my 8 is, again, I'm going to get a low from you. Captain America, colon, the Winter Soldier.
Come on, man! Come on, man! This is a fucking perfect film. This is a perfect film.
Well, maybe we know what Wayne's number 1 is then.
You never know.
I rewatched it with my daughter.
Mm.
And I actually didn't see the final 40 minutes because...
That's what happened, Paul.
Again, I came back to it.
Doesn't matter.
And I never got round to rewatching it. My wife watched it with my daughter, this one. And I'm like, I just never bothered. Because I'm like, I know it ends. Whereas...
Wait, you've never seen the last 40 minutes?
No, of course I do. Oh, we reviewed it on the show and all the rest of it. But I'm saying that in terms of when I'm a rewatch, I never bothered to watch the last 40 minutes.
Got to be nuts, man.
Even after sitting through it, I'm like, yeah, it's, you know.
The fuck? All right.
Nick Fury's thingy.
Nick Fury's thingy is the shit. We all know this is the shit. All right, but
it's a good spy thriller. You know, it's
one of the best spy thrillers and action movies
I've
ever seen.
In the MCU, the Hydra had really taken over. Well, why can't I think of the name of it?
fucking the Shield.
Shield, thank you. And obviously it played through the shit-ass TV show for the only good bit of the TV
show. That is the only... The TV show leads into this film where the guy who's the bald guy actually goes, well, I gotta go get on a boat. And then the opening of this is that boat infiltration. And Captain America jumps out the damn fucking thing without a parachute in whatever. Frank Grillo fucks up all the motherfuckers. Yeah. That fight with that big motherfucker in that boat was the tits, because he did the flip in the air and kicked him and then took him out. That was the balls.
Drop the knife, stab.
Dude, the knife flip.
Game of Thrones style.
The knife flip is the shit, as is everything else. And Bucky, I hated Bucky in this. You know why? His hair sucks. And also, he's an asshole. Right, so, right. You know, what are you going to do? This is great. Great film. Was it number 8 for you?
8 for me, yep.
Insane.
Yep. What's your 8?
8 is Spider-Man No Way Home.
That's my 7.
Ooh!
Very close.
How much fun was this film? How much fun when you saw all of their damn Spider-Man?
Yep.
It's the shit, everyone. I think I was just enchanted by the whole thing. And I still think it was, it's better than the Doctor Strange one that we just saw. Oh, for
sure. It's the best Phase 4 film by a million miles.
Good point.
There's nothing else on my list that's higher than this. Yeah, nothing on yours either.
Once you give me fucking the two other Spider-Mans and you make them love each other like brothers, oh my God. As if that's not going to be the best shit ever. Works great.
Great, fun film, fan servicey to the Wahey, but that's okay because it worked. So, yeah. That's why it's my number 7.
All right. My number 7 is Thor Ragnarok.
Little time. Yeah, basically coming up on my list, obviously. Okay.
All right. So now the Marvel just does a straight comedy. And Taika Waititi was the guy for that. I think I remember talking to someone about this and he was saying, this is not American humor. Someone said that to me, right? Okay. And I'm like, what do you mean? And he said, this is not American humor. And because he's a New Zealand guy and all that sort of stuff, it's more closer to a sort of British kind of that kind of humor. And I was thinking about it. I'm like, you're right. Because when Thor throws a hammer at the window and it comes back and hits him in the head, well, it's almost like that was more funny than it had any right to be, because it was so, what the hell are we doing here? And making the heavy metal kind of theme of the styling, that was such a beautiful idea, man.
Visually spectacular. Thor has found himself. This is the balance of Thor that we needed, and we got through all subsequent films, and we're going to see, I think, Thor Love and Thunder, of course, Taika Waititi returning. This film is great. I had some problems the first time around I saw it, but on rewatch, it really lifted for me. If not 3.5 stars, it's certainly boring 4 stars for me. That's how much I rate this particular film.
Yeah. And this is, you're right. And fucking even the bad girl is the shit. Like,
Hela. Kate Blanchett.
She's great, man, in this. Like, it's not the most big badass thing about the film, but it is great. So, yeah, all cool.
The big fire demon thing, and that's what Ragnarok is. That's all cool.
That's good shit, man.
And an end sequence which actually, oh, I'm on my edge of my seat. What's going to happen? Fucking Thanos found them.
Dude, Mark Ruffalo jumping out.
Korg?
Yeah, Korg. Korg's,
oh, yeah, Mark Ruffalo jumping off.
Jumping and then just splat on the floor. That's hard to pull off, man. But he did it. Everyone laughed. Everyone fucking lost it. Ding, ding. Yeah.
Brilliant. Brilliant stuff. All right. My number 6 is Captain America Civil War.
Oh, so is mine.
Yep. There you are.
Civil War.
This seems to have gone down in people's estimation over time, but not my... Like,
this is slightly less good than the other one, in my opinion. Like, that's...
Whereas my favorite Captain America film, which is not really a Captain America film, it's really an ensemble. It introduces this is an Avengers 2.0
or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, there's everybody in the film that takes sides. One of the greatest battles ever.
That airport battle?
Yes.
But that is the absolute shit.
The links back into Tony Stark's past. I just think setting them apart and against each other, it kind of works in this universe.
It totally works. And then the idea that the thing that snaps them at the very end is like, what could possibly turn you to hate Captain America? You were protecting the guy who killed my mom. And he said, you know, you killed my mom, killed his parents. But he's like, if I ever killed my mom. And that was fucking amazing. Like, I was like, oh shit, of course it's going to kick off now.
Yep.
And I'm almost like, Tony, kill that motherfucker. Because Captain America fucking let it happen, man. Did you know? Holy shit, that was good, man. All good stuff.
Absolutely.
All good stuff.
I really like this movie. I think it's one of the first films we got an advanced screen to, I think maybe for the, which you couldn't go to because I think you'd had your operation.
No, here's what happened. This movie, I didn't see it. I couldn't go to the one that you did, but I could get out finally after I had my, like, a hip replacement. Came out and saw it on my own in a cinema, but I was just going to saw crutches and shit like that. And I just sat down.
That we go to for this show.
I know. And it was
an hour on entertainment.
And I just had to go see it during the day because I was off sick, you know, whatever. And It made me so happy because it was so good. I actually walked, I almost like in my head of skipping out of there. You know what I mean? Like it was just so good. So yeah, definitely. This nice. Is great film.
What's great. Your six?
Six is, that was my six.
Oh, both our sixes. My five, Thor Ragnarok.
Ah, my five, Iron Man.
Wow.
That's right, buddy.
That's our biggest discrepancy, I think. Eight spots, give or take. And there might be another one or two. My four, Spider-Man, colon Homecoming.
Yeah.
Wow. That's how much has risen for me. We haven't heard two of my top three. We've heard one of mine, so I wonder which I know which one of yours is.
Well, we'll see.
So what's your four?
My four is Avengers Endgame.
Okay, right. So that was my nine. My number three, The Avengers.
Yeah, me too. The Avengers is such a good film. Yeah. And it's been overshadowed because of the how it grew, like the thing grew. But when this happened, no one, like tip foot, like, okay,
no one thought this good. This is what solidified this. This is what made the MCU work.
You're right.
We had all these individual films.
You're right.
But the test was when they came together, could it float? Could it stand the test of all the weight of all these characters?
And for someone to write a script, yeah, it's just whatever, okay? But he wrote the script which gave all of them equal or whatever, like prominence, where you cared about every single one of them, even Hawkeye. And like, that was the shit.
Yeah, less so Hawkeye.
Look, he was always the butt of the joke.
He's a bad guy for most of it.
But I tell you, I fucking love Hawkeye. After seeing that TV show, I fucking love Hawkeye. Right?
Sure.
So, but watching this now, it's like, yeah, I get it. It's made everything cool again. Like, and it was, I don't know, man. The whole thing that when people fall into their slots, like it's like, and it makes sense. This is why the A-Team was cool. Everyone had like a little identity. So Captain America here is like, when shit goes down, he's like actually literally being like a captain. Like he's directing fucking the traffic and shit like that. And then Hawkeye, all he can do is shoot shit at shit. But he's doing the little spy work. Tony is like fucking, you know, it's all cool.
Great
man.
Bad guy with Loki. And I think this ensemble of these characters, like I said, working. And that is testament, love him or hate him, given what's come out about him. But Joss Whedon was the right person to direct this at that point.
He killed it, man. He killed it in this thing. It was just, and that's why it's such
a good bit. And write it, I should add, too, because this is legitimately funny. Most of these films, they try to be funny. They're funny once sporadically. But this film is consistently funny when it wanted to be.
Biggest laugh in this film.
Go on.
Thor getting smacked by the Hulk at the end.
I just think
everyone loses it, man. And that's why I said this before. I actually think you go to the MCU movies to laugh. You go there till you can laugh
with
your heroes.
Well, that might explain why some of them aren't. Well, no, because my... Anyway,
if you don't get a good couple of laughs in an MCU film, sure. You don't like it as much, because I think that's why you go. I'm not... I'm saying. All
right. My number two, here's where I had Guardians of the Galaxy. So we're about to find out whether we
have the same
number one or not. Wayne, what is your number two?
Captain America Winter Soldier.
Oh, we do have the same one.
Yes, we do. Okay. All right. Number one, everyone, is Avengers Infinity War.
Infinity
Paul.
War, unquestionably.
How did this beat every single one? Why did it do it?
This film is in the top 50 films of all time, or 60 films for me of all time.
It should be. It should be, Paul.
I was not prepared. I know, in retrospect, you think back, well, we knew we had two films together to finish this Infinity Stone saga. I should have expected the film to end on a downer. I should have expected there to be some deaths. I did not expect to wipe out literally half the cast.
Bro, I remember after this film ended, I was getting texts from people, like girls and stuff. Even girls who don't usually, you know, go to TV films. I just saw Infinity War and then crying face. You know, I'm like, what the fuck? You cared? Like, it's insane, bro.
We saw it. I can't remember if we saw it together or not, but then I took my wife to see it for a second time.
Yeah.
In the same week.
Yeah.
The amount of times I've been to see a film twice the same week would be on less than one hand.
Dude, I could have walked back in there after it ended. I was like, I couldn't. I was too busy shitting my pants.
It was amazing. It was so incredible. And I think Endgame, if it does anything right, it doesn't shit on the legacy of Infinity.
It does not.
You knew the characters were going to come back. There's no way they were going to get rid of Spider-Man forever. None whatsoever.
But
it was
still
how they did it.
Exactly. You're still happy about it. And that was the best thing about Endgame as well. First thing that happens, destroy the Infinity Stones. Because everyone's like, oh, what they're going to do is they're going to use the time stone to go back. Nope. And then, holy shit,
that's
now
true.
What? So
they
have to flip off into dimension shit, which they've now developed upon. So this stuff here is just, that Marcus and McFeely, the guys who wrote this, I reckon their writing job was as difficult or possibly more difficult than Joss Whedon's in terms
of...
Oh,
for sure.
Do you know what I mean? Because it's like, okay, you proved that it could work, but now I'm going to make it better than the thing you proved? Holy shit. Thanos. This is why, this film is about Thanos. It's Thanos' movie, and that's why it's good. Because this is the most relatable sort of character.
Think we'd all consider killing off half the universe, but the idea of we have to save our resources
his premise
somehow.
Is sound, and you're like, and that kind of thing. The only more valid version for this is the that TV show where they try and stop people from being born instead of killing everyone.
Right.
Yeah, Utopia. Yeah, yes. I think that's, but it's along the same lines. And I'm like, you know, I kind of get that. That's kind of the way to go. So yeah, Infinity War is as good as
some of the best action in this whole series whatsoever as well. So hats off to the Russo brothers for the job they did here and on Winter Soldier.
Thanos' sword cuts into fucking Captain's fucking shield, Captain America's shield. Mm-hmm. That means like, holy shit, this thing can do that? Now he's like the most powerful motherfucker ever. He's the shit.
Amazing shit. Amazing, amazing film. And it only gets better, I think. I've seen this film four times, I want to say now. It's pretty good for a film that only came out in, what, 2017? 2018?
Yeah, I reckon. Oh, at least six
times. So I watch it about once a year.
Yeah, it's the shit.
Because I want to watch new stuff to bring to you, so when I go back to spend my time watching, especially a long film like this, that's pretty special. There it is. That's our MCU. We're not going to go back through them again.
No, man. There was a thousand of them.
Troy, shout out to you. You don't need to write this list up this week. I don't even know.
I'll send you a list.
Maybe we don't even need to do the vote this week because they're so similar and whatever. Who cares?
Yeah, who cares, right? Yeah, who cares?
Basically, you can just rag on us. I'll put a thread out there saying, tell us what we got the biggest wrong and the most right, and then we'll just read some of those responses next week on the recount. We'll do
that. Done and done.
All right. So there you are. Troy, week off for you. Thank you, sir. And thank you to all for listening. But we want to hear what you had to say about the topic at hand in a segment that is called the Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Kicking off this week's Top 10 with the aforementioned Troy Spinner. A man who works very hard to bring our list to you each week so you can vote on them.
My man.
He said, man, this is hard and the top three could change at any time. Yep. But number three, Spider-Man, colon, Homecoming. Ooh. Two, Guardians of the Galaxy. One, Avengers, colon, Infinity War. He put the colons in, by the way.
Fuck off.
That's very close to my top three. Troy, if there was a vote this week, I would look forward to your vote. Brentley Oliver, ex-friend of Epic Film Guys, now friend to the Netflix and Swill podcast. There you go, Dan. Are you happy? Number three, Black Panther. Number two, No Way Home. And number one, again, Infinity War.
Wow.
John Huslander said three, Civil War. Two, Ragnarok. One, Infinity War. Feels like there's
I see. So everyone does understand.
Mm-hmm. Michelle Cunnerboy said three, Ragnarok. Two, Infinity War. One, Winter Soldier. So that's pretty much
even awesomer.
Right there with you. Ash Bruff.
My cracker brash.
Said your cousin. Said three, Thor, Ragnarok, two, Infinity War, one, apparently cut from the same cloth almost as you, Captain America, colon, Civil War.
All right.
Nice top work. Two, definitely hard to pick between, he said.
Diffo.
Andrew Watson said Thor, colon, Ragnarok, again wrote the colon, two, Avengers Assemble, obviously from the UK. Maybe not as strong a story as Endgame, but established a team and dynamic brilliantly. And number one, Guardians of the Galaxy. Hilarious and great soundtrack.
One.
Yeah.
Boom.
David Powell, top level patron of the show. Aforementioned three, Ragnarok, two, Guardians, one, Infinity War.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah.
It's unquestionably the number one, I think, from our list of community. Billy Dunham has a couple of hot takes in here.
Uh-oh.
Not his top three, though. Number three, Infinity War. That is the hot take because it's number three. Number two, Spider-Man, colon, Homecoming. Number one, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Holy shit.
And he said his worst three, different maybe countdown, but Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Endgame and Doctor Strange 2.
Well, he said that's the what?
The worst three.
Worst? Yep. Hey, yo. You know what? Maybe do a vote, Paul. Maybe do a vote. I'll drop these up here. It's cool.
John Amenta from the Pint. Now, aforementioned Pint of Comics is now the Pint. Number three, the incredibly hated yet totally awesome Iron Man 3.
No! What's up?
Number two, Thor, colon, Ragnarok. And number one, Winter Soldier. P.S. Endgame blows.
Yo, it's a bit harsh, but Winter Soldier is the tits.
Joe Ketchum from the Word Salad Productions Network said three. Well, I didn't. He just gave the films Black Panther, Civil War, Winter Soldier. So no Endgame nor Infinity War in
holy
sight
shit
for he. And finally, to wrap it all up today, Jason Barr said Black Panther at three, Infinity War at two, and number one again, Winter Soldier, which has been my favorite for a while, and I'm unsure if I see Marvel topping it. Hard, though, as Thor, Ragnarok, and Black Panther personally are on equal footing for me.
My man on neck, Winter Soldier action.
It was a tough list. Thank you all to got back to us. Sorry if we didn't get to your feedback on the topic at hand. We really, truly do appreciate it. Now, next week, kind of done all of the socials at the start of the show, but yeah, thecountdownpodcast.com. Check out Patreon, check out the Facebook list community, all aforementioned. Next week, we were thinking maybe, hopefully, having a guest on for a very special, very, how do I put this?
Some might say risque.
Risque topic, but we're not sure. We have to cut our timelines.
Yeah, just sort that out right now for you.
And if not, we'll have something else for you, which we will announce in due course. So that's it, really, from us today, right, Wayne? Anything else from you?
Nope, that's it. I hope you all love the MCU like I do. I guess if you're listening, you kind of have an interest.
Yeah, you would absolutely hope so. So that's it from us today. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard. At a 28 film series MCU. Yeah, we'll catch you next time. See ya.